Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here, live from Paris, France, doing our Flying Turn show. And of course, with us is the founder of the International Equine Network, Scott Miller. Scott, how you doing? Bonjour.
Great. Great, Steve. How's things going in Paris? You ready for that big 18-horse field?
I think so. They're announcing the positions. They've got 18. That's correct. 18 horses going from the standing start, racing for 900,000 euros, which is about $1 million American, a little more. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome race.
Well, let me ask you something here, Steve. How do you start 18 horses from a standing start for the standard breeds? That's got to be an awesome race.
Well, that's what makes this this Prix de Mérite something special. And what happens is the horses have to go back and forth and in little circles in or near the post position. And there's going to be two tiers of horses doing this. So they're all like doing figure eights and circles, and no one's allowed to, you know, come up or cross the line until the, you know, the word go is given. And what happens is once they feel that everyone's in the proper positioning, they signal and off they go. Everyone that wants to, you know, so if you're like the number one horse in the field, you can start from the rail if you want to. But if you're in the second tier, you're not going to want to be there. You're going to want to probably fade back because you're going to get blocked in. With 18 horses, you can get blocked in and, you know, like be fourth, fifth on the rail and never get out of the race.
Well, with it being an international field like it is, how do you say go in two or three different languages all at the same time?
I'm sure there's certain languages that they speak to the horses, but as Hervé Fillon always said, it's all in the hands for what you can do. It is, and I've talked with Sweden's top driver now in France, Bjorn Goop, and he won a couple years ago the Prix de Mérite. And he said, you got to watch how you turn. You got to turn and then decide, do I want to leave and get out of the way of everybody? Do I want to sit back a little bit and see if some people go off stride, let them clear out? But what makes this race in France so different is that the course itself, which is 1.67 miles, but after that first turn, you go into a hill. You go down a hill. And then you end up going up an incline. And then you go back down again. And then you come around finally to the top of the stretch. So, you know, a horse could actually leave on the outside. And then the turns aren't banked that much. But because it's going downhill, come off the top of the turn and then make a move for the lead. Yeah. There's so many different strategies.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Do the horses that are running today, or, you know, this weekend, do they have the opportunity to start in large fields like this? Or is it kind of like the Kentucky Derby, where most of the horses in the Kentucky Derby, that's the first time they've seen a large field like that?
No, these are the world's best older trotters, and they are seasoned horses, you know, something like a Bold Eagle, and Belina Jocelyn and stuff. They've already made millions of dollars racing in the respective countries. If they're coming to the Vincennes racetrack for the first time, that's something a little bit different. And yeah, if they haven't come early and trained for it, they can have some difficulties. But all the horses in this field have made $1 million or more, each one of them. So you're talking about the best, the world's best.
Well, let me ask you another question. Are there a lot of horses that have shipped in there, you know, to race like they do?
I'm sorry, say that. We're leaving the hotel here, and it's noisy.
Oh, okay. Have the horses that are there, do they ship in, or are they stabled there for, you know, a couple of weeks like they do the Derby,
well,
or are they just...
Yeah, the horses from another country will be here a couple weeks before, the race. But some of them, like Bold Eagle, he's at his training farm, which is only 2 hours away. So they're just going to ship in, for the race.
That makes a big difference,
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, there's horses that are here in the grounds and horses coming in. And I can tell you, because being friends with the late Amy Choquette, one of the greatest second trainers ever, he came over here a month and a half or so early with Delmonica Hanover. And it was one of the times that a mare was going to race against the colts in this race. And Delvin Miller, I mean, he let Amy Choquette go there that early because he knew the course, and he took Delmonica Hanover every day up and down the hills there and trained her. And every day a little, interval training, a little bit faster, to the point where he had her conditioned to be able to go up the hill or down the hill at the same speed she would do a straightaway. And that's what happened was Delvin Miller wasn't going to drive her because he wasn't that familiar with the French driving and everything. And he got the best French driver, and she won. And she beat the boys. She ended up having one of the greatest trotting mares ever. But it's tough. It's a very, very tough race. But all the horses in here, the only ones that wouldn't have raced at Vincennes already would be, horses coming from America or Canada, which unfortunately there are none this year. But, you never know. Maybe next year someone will be shot at it.
Well, that was one of the other questions I was going to ask you, about the crowd there. I imagine the crowd is huge. I've seen the advertisements on the streets and the billboards and that type of thing. You think the crowd will play a big factor in this?
Yeah, it's all on the weather. I mean, hopefully it's only going to be cloudy and there's no rain. I mean, if there's rain, there might be 30,000 people. But if it's, a day like we've been having here where it gets up to 40, 45 degrees and sunny, then they'll have 40, 45,000 at least at the track. It's going to be packed no matter what.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know that it's quite a race day there, just from photos and so forth. They have quite a bit of a parade of horses there and a lot of things that they do. Anything special stand out in your mind?
Anything special in my mind is the fact that if I was a racehorse, I would want to live and compete at that training center, Grosbois, that I've been to the last couple of days. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I can see how these French horses, these top French horses that have come over in the past, the Arazis and stuff, and won the international trot and beat everybody. I can see where their conditioning is perfect conditions. I mean, they have, at Grosbois, it's a 1,000-acre place. Imagine 1,000 acres, and there's over 5 miles of jogging tracks, and there's a mile strip that you can go on of deep sand. Then there's other trails that are medium sand and low, a little harder, compact. They have three different materials that they use even on the jog tracks. And in addition to those 5 miles, they also have a 5/8-mile track that they hold qualifiers on, and a 15/16-mile track that they do qualifying races on. Because over in Europe, they race all different distances. I mean, probably going a distance of a mile is the least amount of their races. That's to them, those race horses, that's like a sprint race. A hot horse like Bold Eagle, once you get him going. That's why when the Breeders' Crown, he just sent him out of there because it was nothing for him. I mean, he usually races a quarter to a half mile longer. So it was just a sprint for him, and he wired the field by 4 lengths, and crushed everybody, whether it was in a wet track or whatever, but, you know, he just flew by them all. And that happens a lot. Sebastian Kaye, when he came over from Sweden in the beginning, he just went right out, was parked a mile or something, didn't matter, because he just kept going. He's used to racing a mile and a quarter. You know, so these horses are super tough, and they show it.
Well, let me
tell you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The undercard, were you going to say?
Yeah, how does the undercard look there? Is it like it is here in the States on Breeders' Cup Day? A lot of good stake races?
Yes. There's seven of the 11 races are stake races. And, of course, the Prix de Mourique is a grade one. I think there's two grade twos and maybe three or four grade threes. So, yeah, they've got some stake races out there. And I think a couple of them are going to be Monty races, racing under saddle. You know, last week they held the world's richest race for 650,000 euros, over 700,000 American. They had 15 horses in the race. And this horse, Billy, who had won last year, he come back and win it again. And but that's trotting under saddle, and they're going just as fast.
Are you there? I think we might have lost Steve. Well, what's going to be interesting about this is that you'll be able to see this on La Trot TV. If you Google La Trot TV, you'll be able to watch that live on the 26th. Very, very good, very good programming on there as far as, you know, the standard breeds go. They've got a lot of video on demand, past races. It's just amazing what they do at La Trot TV for the industry. And I think once we get this done here in the U.S.
Hey, Scott, I'm back.
Okay, there you go. I was just talking about
you know, I have to tell our listeners the truth. I'm getting in a cab, and we're heading out to. I'm sorry, we're heading out to do a river dinner cruise.
Oh, there you go.
So we're going to see Paris at night. You know, through the channels of the rivers.
Yeah. Oh, and let me tell you, you'll like that because when I was there for the Arc de Triomphe quite a few years back, you know, I did the whole tourist thing and the horse industry. In France is awesome. You know, they make it a business that the, you know, tourists can come and see, you know, and it was really good. And when we got our little break there, I was talking about La Trot TV, you know, how you can watch all the racing on their network.
Right.
And they do a very excellent job, you know, and they've got a lot of video on demand. You know, that you can go back and see the history of you know, the racing and things. And so, you know, that'll be something, you know.
Oh, yeah. People should go and see some of these races. Actually, today, this afternoon, I was at the the French Trotting Horse Museum, which is right on the grounds of the training center at Le Bois. And we could see films from the 1930s, 1940s, you know, 1950s of a lot of the races that took place then.
Well, you know, with the historical value there of the horse in France, not only is he thoroughbreds and show horses and
race,
what have you, it's got to be awesome.
The Prix de Mourique is celebrating its 100th anniversary on Sunday. And what's so great about it is the races is a thank you to America by the French for coming and fighting in World War I. So
wow.
This race is major, major. I mean, I'm not sure if it – I don't think it was continuous because of World War II and thus, you know, it's not consecutive, but now's the 100th anniversary from the first race that was held in 1920.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, we were talking about Hervé Filion, you know, in past shows and so forth. Do you see very many American drivers coming over, you know, to race in France?
No, it is a rarity. In fact, the only really well-known American in Europe is named Jerry Reardon, and he is has become one of the top trainers in all of Europe. His horses have won major stakes, and he has a pretty good shot here. He has a horse, Ringo Star Treb, who is probably one of the top five horses in all of Europe. So he's got a very good chance. And I talked to Jerry on Monday, and he is he's psyched. He said the horse is really feeling good, and he's looking forward to getting into the race.
Are you going to be...
But that's the only American.
Yeah.
But let me explain something. There was, actually, Ron Burke and Yannick Gingras are looking into setting up stable and Yannick driving in France and trying to maybe get as many as 40 horses and open a stable here, which, you know, that would be pretty exciting. And that in the wintertime when things are slower in the United States, Yannick might go over there and race because that's when they have the best purses. In France is actually during the winter meet because the racetrack gets switched over. Okay. The racetrack is actually serves a dual purpose, and they have thoroughbreds too.
Well, let me ask you this. Would they be taking over American horses or just strictly, you know, building their stable from, you know, European horses?
Well, it depends. The French would have to approve the trotters. In other words, if they were bringing over Atlanta, you know, horses of that quality, absolutely they're going to say, yes, bring them. Depending, some of the races don't allow geldings, but they have very limited claiming races. So if you want to put your horse in the claiming race and try and get him sold that way, they don't have very many of that. But I'm sure, knowing Ron Burke, he's going to want to set up and have anywhere from 30 to 40 horses, and with that money, you know, and the track racing, you know, 5-6 days a week, then he could very well. And remember, it's only trotters here. There are no pacers.
Right.
So it would be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to ask you about. You just hit on it. You know, how many days a week do they race there? You know, here in the States, sometimes our tracks are limited, you know, because you can only, you know, saturate your market so much. But with the horse in Europe being a part of the lifestyle, like when I was there in France, it was interesting. Just about everybody that I spoke to on my visit and my trip there were involved in the horse race, had a member of the family involved in the horse in some way, shape, or form. You know, they kind of kept that culture up, you know, with it. And I think that's one of the things that makes, you know, the horse in Europe, you know, fantastic.
You're 100% right. There are so many of the people in the industry. And this week, of course, at weekend, you have literally every European country has people here. I mean, aside from the Americans coming over for the race, the Australians and New Zealands, they're coming here from Croatia, where they have like 12 or 13 harness racing tracks. But there's no wagering on them. You can't wager on it. It's all done sort of on not amateur level per se, but they might wager between themselves, and they actually put up prize money and stuff. But, the harness racing is throughout. And Budapest, Hungary has a top racetrack there that brings in a lot of French blood. And some of that French blood, of course, has American blood in it. And how can I say? There's so many languages spoken, but everybody knows what a horse is.
Yeah, back in the day in Moscow, you know, when we were trying to get the simulcasting back there in the mid-90s, you know, to Eastern Europe. It was amazing. The tracks had literally had the show horse grounds, the trotters, and the thoroughbreds all in the same venue. And
Right. And Prairie Meadows did that for a while, didn't they? They had all three quarter horse harness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and thoroughbreds. But, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Russia because, you know, they have harness racing there. And there's been times, you know, for years and years that they've had some of their horsemen come over and compete. But one of the gentlemen I met actually from Sweden, but he's lived the last 25 years in France, is Anders Lindqvist. And when he was in his prime, he represented Sweden and in the World Driving Championships in Moscow. And when he won one of the races and came to the winner's circle, he got off his horse, and then the security guys came and made him give them his whip. And he couldn't understand why they were taking his whip away. He just won the race and everything. And when he looked up, there was President Putin there to present him the trophy.
Oh, there wasn't nobody after him. Oh, man.
Russia.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that really intrigues me about France and about their, you know, their horse industry is the fact that they really seem to put a lot of stock in the week leading up to, you know, the big race, kind of like we do here for the Derby, Belmont, or the Preakness, or Breeders' Cup, you know, that type of thing. Have you been able to enjoy any of the equestrian, events that they had there this week?
Well, yes, pretty much at the training centers, because what really makes it unique for the United States is that they race so many races here under saddle. So here you see a horse and jog cart and driver or whatever taking it out for a jog, and alongside it is someone riding a trotter and exercising them that way. Or even, you know, as ponying them, which, you know, you'll see that at training centers where they'll drag one behind them. But this one here, one's, you know, it's on horseback and it's taking a horse around the track. You know, it's almost as if it's both breeds here.
Now, let me ask you a question about the training center there. How many horses do they have?
Right now, it's peak season, and they probably have 1,400 horses at the training center. See, there's no stables at the grounds. The racetrack is 7 miles away, so they just truck them right over. There's six. Here, I can give you some stats. There's approximately 1,400 horses. There are about 600 grooms, caretakers, and trainers. Their track crew, maintenance crew for the racetracks and the jogging services are 60 people. So, and I realize, you know, that's a hefty little payroll. The gentleman I was with told me, Anders Lindqvist, he has a courtyard that has 40 stalls in it. Now, he doesn't have 40 horses. But because he has been there for so long, he gets a house that has a four-bedroom house that's attached to the courtyard. And the horses are, you know, so the horses are right at the, they're literally under their feet. And he pays $8,000 a month.
Ooh.
But he rents 36 of the stalls out to people.
Oh,
and he has,
there you go.
You know, he's allowed to rent two of the bedrooms too. So he's got quite a few. I don't know. I don't think he's making money per se. He's too nice a guy, but he has, you know, everything taken care of that way.
Yeah. Well, what about the tack shops? They got any good tack shops like we have here in the States?
Well, they have a FinTack tack shop. So it's sort of like FinTac, which is quite, you know, known around the world. and yeah. they have a full warehouse on the grounds there. They also, they also have an equine hospital there, and there are approximately 15 veterinarians that take care of all the horses and do whatever specialty work has to be done, all on the grounds. But the only thing, and some of the barns, apparently if you build it yourself, they'll have a walker ring.
Yes.
You know, so that they can put them in there. I saw a couple different barns, stable areas that had that themselves. And I'm trying to think. Of course, there's a beautiful track kitchen, a huge game party room where, you know, everybody can hang out. There's so many people there. And the entire facility, all 1,000 acres, is walled in. I mean, this is land deeded by Philip II of France to people, and there's a great history of how it's passed. One of Napoleon's generals once owned the property. There is also a castle with a huge moat that's dry. They don't keep it filled with water anymore, but a huge moat, and inside that, this castle palace is the Trotting Horse Museum. And you can come here free of charge, walk right in. It's right, you know, it's in the middle of everything. So while you're jogging a horse, you can look over to the side and you're going to see this humongous castle every day. And the grounds are full of protected animals that have been there, you know, for all the years, because inside the palace there's one room we saw that had all the antlers of the huge reindeer that live there, and they have wild boar that sometimes come and dig up the track looking for mushrooms and stuff. Truffles, I'm sorry.
Yeah, truffles, yeah.
Right, and they have foxes, and I saw hawks, and it was just gorgeous.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, I can't wait to watch it on LaTrot TV this weekend, you know, to see all the pageantry and you know, everything. You know, how good it's going to be. Who's going to win that, Steve? Who's your favorites? Have you got any picked out yet? Might have lost him there. Well, with an 18-horse field, anything can happen. That's going to be for sure. Anything can happen. So, you know, I'm going to be looking forward to LaTrot TV to see, you know, who's who and, you know, where they finish at and how fast they get there. It's going to be an amazing show. I know they do have a fantastic undercard on the show this Sunday. They've got the parade of horses, and it's an amazing parade that they have. The horses are done up in different types of blankets and flags, and, you know, it's just amazing what they do. You know, with that, they really make it good for the non-horse person to watch, you know, racing in France. It's explained and it's told, you know, how to bet at the PMUs, how to get there, about the hotels. You know, it's just a fantastic, you know, afternoon. You know, so I think we might have lost Steve there for a while. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump ahead. Okay. All right. I can jump ahead here a little bit and talk a little bit about the American race. This week we're going to have a nice race here in South Florida. It's called the Pegasus. It's
okay, I'm
unbelievable.
Back. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
We're entering the, I don't know, I guess the wrong side of town here. I might lose you again, and I think that'll be it. But I forgot actually what we were talking about, trying to get back to you.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, the horse museum.
The race
and
the on Sunday, though, that's going to be a spectacular event. The card starts, they open the gates at like 11 a.m. and around 1 o'clock they're going to run probably six or seven races, and then they're going to
have this parade that comes in the racetrack that's unbelievable. And it's all dedicated to America. You know, everyone, the people, there will be stilt walkers. They'll all be dressed in red, white, and blue American stripes. And each of the drivers, all 18 of them, are going to come out on Harley-Davidson motorcycles. That's all decked out. You know, they have a big parade to welcome them. I know that the French, I'm trying to think of it, their cavalry, elite cavalry people be out doing lancers. That's
right.
What they are, Royal Lancers. They come out and do a performance, and it's just going to be spectacular to watch. And then, of course, they have the whole build-up to the race, and at the time, there'll be people, you know, cheering for FaceTime Bourbon and waving flags from Sweden, or for Bald Eagle from France, or for the other horse from Norway, or for the mare, Jocelyn, or Blinda Jocelyn. It's, you know, they have the people scream, you know, when you have, as well as the Derby, when they go, everybody in the world screaming for their favorite horses. But what happens here usually is, especially if one of the French horses win, they're going to jump over the rail and they're going to surround them and on the track. And the next thing you know, there's going to be 600-700 people out there, and they're going to pick up the driver and carry him on their shoulders. And it's really a intense, spectacular. And then the awarding of the trophy, it's like, you know, when you win the Stanley Cup and they all come out and have the special presentation, you want to stay just to see that.
Right. Have you had any champagne yet while you're there?
You know what? I have. And they started off giving it to us on the plane. So we figured now we're off on, well, it was Air France. So we should have figured we'd, they would offer us champagne and get it started. But yes, I've had a few bottles so far, and it's all been very good.
Well, don't offend anybody by not having any. We got to keep good relations up.
No. And I know I'll probably have some on this dinner cruise tonight.
Yeah, that dinner cruise is spectacular. You're going to love it.
That's right. You've been here, you've seen it. So
right, with the Arc de Triomphe and Eiffel Tower, it's amazing.
Yeah, we've been there. Today we were at the Louvre and saw Mona Lisa, and she sends you her best regards.
Tell her I'll have to catch her later on this summer.
Yeah,
when Thoroughbred starts running again.
Hey, listen, we're getting here, and I'm going to have to get out of the car. So,
sounds good. I'm going to
tell you it's a great time, and of course on our next show we're going to talk about how the race went and all the excitement of Prix de Mérite Day.
Great. Well, I'm going to jump over here to At the Wire and talk about Gulfstream on Saturday. You guys have a good, safe trip. And
Thank you.
We'll look forward to you getting back.
It'll be a good show. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks. All right, guys, I'm going to be a solo driver here. We're going to talk about Gulfstream Park on Saturday. Saturday is a huge day at Gulfstream Park. Some of the best trainers and best horses in the United States are there for a series of stake races. Pletcher, Bob Baffert, Eddie Keneally, Wesley Ward, which races a lot in Europe. He's going to be there. It's just an amazing day. The one race that I'm looking forward to is actually a turf race, and it's bringing a tremendous amount of good horses from all over the country in. It's unbelievable to see a racetrack here in the States put together an undercard like they have for Saturday up there. The inside information is being presented by Run Happy Matchmaker Series. It's a grade 2 race. It's going to be a post time of 3:36 with them. And, I was just going down through here
And there's a horse that I like in here, a little bit of a long shot, and it's called Spice Perfection. Looking here, he's actually going to be the favorite now, which is a good horse. He is being trained by a trainer from California, Peter Miller. And, this horse is really good. But, you know, a lot of times the horses from California, when they get here to the East Coast, it's just a little bit different makeup of the turf that they have in California. So, you know, he looks pretty good. But Todd Pletcher has a horse in here that I've actually been watching, and it's Nona Madeline. Johnny Velasquez is going to be riding the horse, and he's got 118 pounds that he'll be carrying. It's whereas Spice Perfection is carrying 124 pounds. And I just think that Todd might just have this horse right and ready for it. This horse is a good stretch runner. And, I think will be a big factor in this race. And that would be in here for the inside information stakes. It's a $200,000 purse for them. And then the next one is a race that they used to have at Calder. It's called the William McKnight Stakes. It's a grade three. The post time will be 4:12 on that. And I tell you what, there's a horse in here that I think is going to jump up and just grab a hold of everybody. It's Mike Maker's Camera. And he's at 15-1, got Castellano on it. And this horse has just been making, you know, really great progress over the fall and early into the winter here. That's Mike Maker's horse in there, Carmen. And that's the William McKnight. And like I said, it's good money there. It's $200,000 on Saturday for that race. And then the one that my favorite is the Turf Cup. Is the Pegasus World Turf Cup. It's a $1 million race. That post time will be 4:49 p.m. And I tell you what, this horse race here could be won by anybody in this race. And I mean anybody. The thing that gets me is that the field is so full. And I didn't think it would be this full. You know, I did not think it would be this full. We've got 12 horses going at it. And we've got Aidan O'Brien. He's got a horse from Ireland called Magic Wand, which is a nice horse. Been doing very well here in the States. Again, Todd Pletcher's got a horse called Channel Cat. Channel Cat has always been in the fight in every race that he's been in. But he just doesn't have any luck. And so, you know, that's going to be a pretty good one. But this is my favorite horse of all. It's Saddler's Joy, and it's out of the Tom Abitroni stable. It has Castellano on board, and this horse can flat out run. His bloodline goes all the way to the great European grass horses. And, I was really excited to see him run here. Of course, I'm a big fan, favorite of Saddler's Joy. And, I always have been. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens, with this horse. We have one more in here to look at. And I tell you what, this is an absolutely long shot. It's called Henley's Joy. It's a Mike Maker horse. And he's trained by ridden by Julianne LaPrue. And he is a great, great, fantastic turf rider. So, that's Henley's Joy for Mike Maker. And then we get to the big race, to the $3 million World Cup Invitational. These horses were invited to come to Gulfstream to run. And there's a lot of great horses in here. Karen McLaughlin has True Timber, but Joe Bravo is an excellent horse. Patrick Biacon, the French trainer, has a Diamond Oops, and with Julianne LaPrue is going to be a tough horse. Dallas Stewart has Seeking the Soul, with Johnny Velasquez, Seeking the Soul's a tough running horse. He's got a lot of speed to him, and we just don't know how long, you know, that would last. But then when you get down to Omaha Beach, Richard Mandela's horse, you've got Mike Smith, and this horse is just phenomenal. You know, if you can watch it on TV or get out to Gulfstream, you know, it would be worth it, because this horse is going to be a part of future history. This horse is just an awesome horse. He's a four-year-old colt, and, you know, he is tough. And with Mike Smith on him, he's going to be hard to beat. You know, it's going to be tough. We have Dale Romans has Mr. Freeze. He's a nice horse. Then one of the horses that I thought might be able to get Omaha Beach and beat him was Spondoron. He scratched earlier today, and so he won't be running, but, you know, hopefully we'll see him back, you know, in the Breeders' Cup next year. And then one horse that, I tell you what, you just don't know what's going to look like, is Bob Baffert's Mucho Gusto. This horse has got Ortiz on it, and he can flat out run. How he'll do here in the East Coast is going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be very, very interesting. Bob usually brings horses in and gets them ready for, you know, for this race. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting day there. The card's filled with a lot of good stake races. Gulfstream is a great, fantastic place to take the family to. They have a lot of shops. They have a lot of restaurants. There's a lot of things to do there. You know, you're close to the beach. You know, it's just phenomenal. And what we're trying to do here on At the Wire and Flying Turns and our other programs on IANTV.org is to get the public interested in the horse business. You don't have to be a rider. You don't have to be a trainer. You don't have to be an owner. You know, it's a good day for the family to go out and see the, you know, equestrian events. To go to see polo at Wellington, or to go to the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center and see all the show jumping, all the dressage. You know, it's phenomenal up there. They have Saturday Night Lights, and it's fantastic. It's like going to Disney World. They've got food. They've got all kinds of things to do. You can get up close to the horses and look at them. You know, and the same thing in Wellington with polo. You know, on Sundays, you can pull right up next to the polo fields. And for people that don't know much about polo, polo field is 6 football fields long. It's a huge facility. And then when they have their break, they have a champagne break in the middle of the chuckers, and they go out and they stomp the divots back down into the grass. Everybody from the clubhouse down to just the regular tailgate gators. You know, it's a fantastic, you know, day there. And then, of course, you know, up in Ocala, they have a tremendous amount of horse shows and horse events in Ocala. They have AQHA events. They've got the rodeo events. They have the sales venues up in Ocala. You know, it's just amazing, you know, what our horse industry, you know, offers. And the great thing about it is the fact that no matter what state you go to, you can find some type of horse event, you know, from the backyard horse shows, you know, to the Olympic qualifiers. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get, you know, people out, you know, to see what we're, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, we made available a call-in number, 323-744-4831. To anybody that ever wants to call the shows, or you can call IEN at 561-251-3827. And we have plenty of people here that can, you know, answer your questions, get you in the right direction. I'd like to offer any of our listeners to come in to Sunshine Meadows in Delray Beach, Florida, to see our facility. We have some of the top standard breds in the world here with us. We have unusually large number of champion thoroughbred horses at our Palm Beach Downs facility. We had Vino Rossi that won the Breeders' Cup Classic last year. We had Always Dreamin', Super Saver that won the Kentucky Derby a few years back. Go back a few more years, and we had Monarchos there. So you can actually get up close and see history here at Sunshine Meadows and Palm Beach Downs. And as I always tell everybody, you know, it's one of the few facilities that you can come to where you can see, past champions, present champions, and future champions. And the same with our trainers and riders. You know, it's just amazing, you know, what we have here. And we also have several stables here that offer riding lessons from the beginner to, you know, to... Good. Alexandra, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're trying to get through this show here. We're trying to get everybody going here. And I'm so glad you called because, you know, you offer a great service that a lot of people don't know about.
Thank
you. You know, and I tell you, we need to talk more about what you do and how you do it because I've seen the results. And it's amazing to, you know, you think somebody can't do something and the next thing you know, you see them 6 months later and yes, who is that, you know, riding and doing that? So who are you and what do you do there at Galleria Equestrian?
Well, my name is Alexandra Shank. I'm the operations manager of Palm Beach Therapeutic Equestrian Center. And like you said, we're located at Delray Equestrian Center, which is really close to Atlantic Avenue and Lyons Road. I started this business back in March of 2019, and I've just been slowly growing, and it's been a really rewarding experience.
Now, exactly what do you do with the therapeutic riding? Just what is that?
Well, therapeutic riding, it teaches people with unique abilities, whether it is physical, emotional, or cognitive disabilities to learn riding skills. So it's really just like a normal riding lesson, same goals, same horse, but just kind of going about it in a way that's tailor-made for that person. So they make their own goals as to what they want to do, and I just help them achieve those goals.
Yeah, I noticed some of the riders I can see, you know, I've seen where they, you know, they're kind of skittish at first, you know, and you know, it's new to them. And then I see them a few weeks later and man, they're excited. They can't wait to get onto the horse, you know, and get back, you know, and all. And what I like about it is the parents, you know, the parents and the riders seem to really get enthused about it also.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so a learning experience usually for both the student and the parent, you know, if they are younger. I've had parents that are asking me about posting and all these things, and they're cheering them on the sidelines when a few months ago they didn't even really know the ins and outs of riding skills. So it definitely is a family affair.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about seeing that. Now, let me ask you, do you do any special Olympic events?
It's funny you ask. My goal for 2021 is to have students competing in the Special Olympics. The Special Olympics here is held in February or January, I believe, and
right.
It was just too early for us this year. But next year, it is definitely a goal.
Well, you know, that's good that you got to a year to get, you know, get it under your belt and, you know, get, you know, see which students, you know, would, you know, might qualify and do those things.
Yes.
Let me ask you another question. How many horses do you have?
Currently, I have two that are for the program. Right now, I'm only doing private lessons. So I have one horse that's about 16 6.3 hands and one that's 13.2. So
now let me,
one
yeah,
for the
let
kids
me ask,
and one for the adults.
Are you getting any, assistance or guidance from the state or the county or anything like that? Because I know several places up in Kentucky where the state actually, helps them, with, different things. And I didn't know if that was the same here in Florida as it is up there.
No, not yet. My other goal for this year is to become a nonprofit. Is to start that process and that paperwork. So hopefully that will open a lot of doors for me, including help from the state and different organizations.
Now, you were a little bit of a writer yourself, weren't you? Or still are?
I still consider myself a writer, yes.
You haven't burned the candle at both ends long enough yet to say I'm not going to ride anymore.
I did have an injury that set me back for about 6 or 9 months. So I actually just started riding this week again. So it's funny you bring that up.
Well, you know that's another thing. We have a girl here in Sunshine Meadows. She's going into being a personal trainer, and her name's Cameron. She works in our office here, and she's gearing her schooling towards a personal trainer, and she wants to focus towards the equestrian, in riding, and because there is a need for that. And a lot of times something like that would coincide with what you're doing there because, I imagine a lot of the people you deal with, if they have a physical disability and they get thrown up on a horse, it's a whole different muscle set for them. Do you have any programs, that can help them be a better rider through exercise?
Yes. So just depending on the student that comes in, I tailor make lessons for them. So if they're just stretching on the horse and the horse is standing there for the first few lessons, then that's what we do. We go at the person's pace.
Well, that's fantastic because that gets a lot of kids. A lot of times, in athletics, how it is, kids get thrown into something or, they're doing something different. They can get burnt out or a bad taste in their mouth right off the bat. But it sounds like what you're doing, is laying a good foundation for a lifelong, sport for them to participate in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And awesome. Well, so you're in Delray, at Delray Equestrian.
Yes.
Can they come over and visit with you? What's the process? They call you, knock on your door, jump over the fence?
I would prefer if they sent me an email or a text or contacted me on Facebook, and I will send them an application email, which is just, different goals that they have and just boring paperwork. And then they come out for a free assessment. So they come out, they meet me, they meet the horse, and we see if therapeutic riding is going to be beneficial for them. And then we just go from there, whether they want to start weekly lessons, biweekly lessons, or, if it's not for them, then that's completely fine with me. But we also have unmounted lessons if they are a little scared of riding, where they learn to communicate with the horse, take care of the horse, groom the horse, bathe, lunge, all of that fun stuff if they are a little scared of riding the horse.
Now, the horses that you have there, are they ponies? Are they big horses, little horses? Do you have a horse?
Yes, I do. I have one big warm blood. And I have one pony.
Mm-hmm. What are their names?
The warm blood's name is Amor, and the pony's name is Crush.
crush. So that's when they come out there, they get a choose their horse, or do you match them to the horse?
I match them to the horse. Both of them have their own talents, and you know, it's just getting the right rider horse combination. The pony is a Shetland quarter horse cross, and I've had him for about 16 years. He was my riding pony when I was a kid, and now he's semi-retired and doing this now and teaching more kids how to ride. And that's pretty much been his whole life.
Well, the program you have there sounds really good, and I'd like to get you on the show when Steve's back in the country, and we've got a couple other people, that announcers that we're going to have there. Well, I'll be turning all this over to the professionals, and you know, get me back more in the production end of everything, and the brains part of the programming distribution. But we'd like to have you, like I said, on the show again, so we can get more detail on, you know, how people can help you do what you're doing. You know, it's fantastic.
I would love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic what you're doing. You know, and like I said, I saw one of our people out here had a young man that could barely, you know, set up. And now this boy, after 4 years, he's setting up, you know, shoulders back and you know, his feet, you know, his heels out, doing all the stuff that you guys are supposed to do. And he actually can wave to me now. And before, he never could. He couldn't even raise his head up, you know. And so I see the value of what you're doing. And you know, we would love to help you in any which way, shape, or form that we can, you know, to get your program.
Well, thank you.
And also,
thank you so much. Yeah, I've definitely seen some miracles happen. It's very rewarding to see and help these people ride and make goals and go after it week to week, just like any other rider would.
Well, we'll get you up on our website and put you a little corner over there where people can come to our website. We'll be able to see how to get a hold of you, you know, what you're doing. You know, please let us know if you're going to do any events. And, you know, especially about the Special Olympics. I got a niece that was in the Special Olympics. And let me tell you something, it turned her around big time. And, and I would love to see your kids start out, you know, there and kind of follow you guys as you go along to the Special Olympics. And, you know, we'll do some videos and some, you know, writing and all different things with you and see what we can do. So
yeah,
I really
that sounds
appreciate
like a great
having,
plan.
Yeah, I appreciate having having you on the show. You tolerate me and putting up with me. And, you know, we're slowly getting there. But, you know, anything we can do, you let us know. And if you want to, just give your name and your contact information one more time before we go.
Yes, my name is Alexandra. My phone number is 321-302-5522. And you can check out Palm Beach Therapeutic Equestrian Center at www.palmbeachtec.com. Or you can find us on Facebook.
There you go, girl. I appreciate that. And carrots are accepted there, right?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Well, thanks a lot, Alexandra. I look forward to talking with you again. And thank you for what you do for the equestrian industry.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Okay. You too now.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, guys, it looks like we're getting close to the end of our show here. I hope everybody struggled through with me. I hope everybody struggled through with me as I did doing this show. I want to thank our people at BBSradio.com, fantastic network. Go to BBSWradio.com and see what they all have for entertainment.